got up ready and I whipped myself into something different. Like, today's message is going to help you. It's not going to be super comfortable, but it's going to help your life forever. If you can't hear, you got to point back there and say, turn them up. Because I got no way to do that from where I'm at. I'm up here. I have no control of anything. I just have the Holy Spirit, and He can get across to what you need. Amen. This message is Please the King. It's kind of an Esther analogy. I was going to title it, He Could Ask You to Dance in Broad Daylight, but I didn't. I want to welcome you. I'm Pastor Sean, because I don't think we have one visitor. I'm the senior pastor here. Welcome. Thank you for coming. Half the crew is out. Never been to Minnesota, but I'd love to fish there. So I'm just saying. All right. I'm old school fisherman. I love it. I miss it. Around here, it's not great. So I know I digress, but I started thinking about fishing. There you go, Jack. Just get me in. Reel me in. That's what I need. I need. If I'm up too much today, Jack, I trust you as a barometer. You can go, Pastor. I think these toes need a little lightening. Yep, you're like, oh, good, bring it up. Okay. And he's like, no, amp up the volume, Pastor. I ain't doing that. But I want to take a casual scroll through some holy scripture of Esther. But I want to give you the real story. I'm going to give you the real story of pleasing the king. It's going to be slow. It's going to be churning. And it's going to be important for the rest of your life in Jesus Christ till he returns. He's coming back. I don't know if you can feel that. We need to know this. Like this message came up. Lord, help me. I pray. Father, Holy Spirit, I pray that you breathe on this like you breathed on me. You woke me up in that hotel room and put this on the schedule when it wasn't on the schedule from up north. You didn't tell me about it. And I spent a whole night not sleeping talking to you about this. Help me do an adequate job to express your heart during this season. Your spirit would flow today, and the word, Father, like it hasn't flowed in a long time. And it's been flowing. I pray this be a river that catch them up and sweep them right away to the city of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Please the King, a.k.a. Jesus could ask you to dance in broad daylight. You know, sometimes he needs us to prove our love to him. Do you know that? Do you love him more than you love yourself? See, he needs that proof sometimes. It's easy to say. He needs it proved. And we're going to talk about that because it's super important. There's so many things undercover, but I said, why would he ask you to dance in broad daylight? Why is that part of this thing? I'll never forget, I was, Pastor Heidi and I have been married maybe, I don't know, a couple years. Justin came along, and he was sick all the time as a little baby, you know, ear infections. We lived in a crappy little house. You know, I was doing the best I could, working three jobs. New York's tough. And I'll never forget, got some pneumonia, and Heidi had some pneumonia. And that's how we had our first miscarriage. She was pregnant, pneumonia. And all these things, and she had a pregnancy test. And then pneumonia came in. This was after a miscarriage. My son was sick. And I'm in front. I'm asking God. I'm worshiping. I'm asking God. And I'm, you know, just meeting with him. And all of a sudden, one of the pastors who I love with all my heart, she came up and she said, God told me for you to dance. Now, you know me as a crazy worshiper I am today. That's not a problem today. You ask a young guy. Still got a little machismo and a chip on his shoulder, serving God, but I would punch him in the jaw at the same time. Still working out my salvation a little bit more every day. Dance. Dancing was something I did in high school with too much alcohol. Dance. And then she said, he wants you to get up on stage and do it in front of everybody. And you do it for your son and your wife and your unborn child. And you dance like you want to get his attention. Now, instantly, there's a choice to be made in that moment. There's a choice to be made in that moment. This ain't part of the lesson. I ain't got there. I had a choice to make. Did I love my pride, my reputation, my awkward dancing skills? up on stage in front of everybody. I never want to be on stage. I obeyed. And I got up there and I closed my eyes because I couldn't see how foolish. I wanted to see nothing. Just dance. I don't know, the music was playing. I just, until I felt like I was going to cry. And then I stepped off the stage. My son's fine. My wife's fine. And Jordan was born. But sometimes he wants to know, do you love him more than yourself? What you want to do? Sometimes. The Word of God has many analogies of people attempting to please kings. It does. People attempting to capture the king's favor, right? Remember dumb old Herod Agrippa? Remember? He had a trashy daughter-in-law, you know, dance for him all seductively to get his favor, remember? She wanted the head of John the Baptist. That's what it was. She was trying to get the favor of the king. Please the king, and he did the offer. Up to half my kingdom, just because she did a little dance. That's a natural king. I need him a powerful king. It's kind of a scumbag king. Just being honest. Today's going to be so real because Pastor Heidi's in that other door. She can't edit me. There's a real good chance I'm going to need Jack to go, whoa, 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 you know? Whoa, Pastor. Whoa. You know, Daniel had a bunch of earthly kings he had to please, remember? Kings. So we have this little girl, Hadassah. Esther. Yeah, I know you know Esther. It's a familiar book, right? Ever read Esther and heard a message on Esther? Raise your hand. Yeah. Esther. Everybody knows Esther, right? Familiar story, right? Reach even taught about it recently. Didn't Reach to dig into Esther a little bit? Yeah. So listen, I wasn't looking to talk about it. I had a study break. I took 2 weeks off in northern Arizona, and all I did was seek God, well, what do you want to say this year? And he gave me a bunch of stuff, and most of it I haven't preached yet. All the good stuff, you're like, man, God's moving this year. They have good messages. I heard it in the woods, Jody. He talked to me up there. I went, okay, well, this is a bonus message. He gave me another one, too. I woke up in Washington hotel room late one night. I'm talking late. And God was emphasizing this to me. His bride must pursue his pleasure. He said, read Esther tomorrow morning. Like, read Esther, Lord. Now, you know, I know Esther. Read it tomorrow morning. That's in a couple hours, Lord. And we talked about it. To please him, even if it isn't your pleasure. Even if it isn't your pleasure. To please if it makes no sense, like a weird request, like dance, boy, dance. Dance, monkey, dance. You know? Get up there. Faith can ask strange things of you sometimes. Sometimes. Anybody ever have God ask you something strange, like, man, that's kind of weird. God, you want me to do what? That's my last $5. That's my last fiver. You want me to do what with it? That guy over there, he's probably just going to, you know, buy some Pabst Blue Ribbon or something. Okay. Okay. Dance on stage in front of all these people? I'm going to look like an idiot. Because I don't move like the rest of y'all when you dance. You know, I'm more like the groundhog Caddyshack gopher. You know, I'm all right. That's, you know, it's about where I'm at. Yeah. And so sometimes, and I remember in Hebrews, like 11:6, it's not up there, don't stress it. It's impossible to please God without faith. Impossible to please him without proving our love. Impossible to please him without obeying him. I know that sounds harsh. We don't understand kingship at all. Today we're going to talk about kingship a little bit. We sing songs about kingship, but I think we need to understand what it is. Today, I want to take a base look at the story of Esther, this sweet and tender love story that we're sold. The bottom line, Hadassah, Esther, she gets this moment, right? She gets one moment to please the king. I want you to hear that. Because I don't know how old you are, but I guarantee you, time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping. Into the future. And you better recognize you're living in a moment. You got no more guaranteed moments. She had a moment to please the king. That's what she was supposed to do with her entire moment. Church, do you hear that? What are we doing with our entire moments? Who are we pleasing? To prove her unencumbered, complete devotion to the king's pleasure. To the king's pleasure. I know, it sounds super romantic. You know, it wasn't. You know, this is a sweet girl, a talented girl, right? And she's got competition. She does. She's in the biggest I want to please the king competition that ever existed. To find out what pleases the king, right? And her sole goal, the crazy thing about Esther, she goes on this soul goal, like soul as in soul focused, and soul, her heart's all in. Those two things are important. Her sole goal, her main focus is to find out what pleases the king, and her soul is going to engage in doing that no matter what it is. No matter what it is, oh, he was so handsome, I saw the movie. We're going to talk about it. To find, imagine a life devoted to pleasing the king. Whole life, completely devoted, 100% to please the king. Do we have one? Are we 100% devoted to pleasing the king? That's why this is so important. This is pretty much the base of the rest of your life. If it's going to count for anything, it matters. If you're the bride of Christ, you need to understand this message more than anything I'm going to preach this year. I didn't know it. Because life's a vapor. You have any loss this year? Yeah. How about last year? Anybody in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s? Blitch! Holla! All right. Right? I feel like they went by fast. My 50 plus went by zzz. I can't remember some of them. That's part of my fault, but I can't. Do you feel like it went by fast? 90. I feel like it went by fast. Certainly didn't seem like as long ago as it was. I remember when I was 13, 21, 30, right, Ed? Where did it go? I was invincible, man. Life's a moment. Say, life's a moment. We really should get to focusing up. Time to focus up with our moment. You got a moment. That's all you have. Who are you pleasing? Boy, does this feel uncomfortable. Time to focus on what pleases the king. Say, time to focus on what pleases the king. It's time to focus, right? So here we have this guy, Esther, this quest, you know, and the whole thing really for the best lover. I'm glad the kids are there. We got a tiny one. He don't understand. Pastor Heidi can't edit me. This is a Luther Vandross commercial. You know, if you don't know who Luther Vandross, you need to check it out. You know. Man, and she's going to, he wants like the best cook. And he wants the best arm candy. The best smelling. That's what he wants. He wants the best one at pleasing him. Well, that chauvinist king. You better understand you have a king. And you better understand it's our job to please him. She didn't just mail it in. She could have, right? She could have just kind of chilled through the motions, you know, become gently used and stepped in. He had two harems. He might have more. We know he had two. I don't know how many's in a harem, but they collected from all over the known world that he controlled. So if you didn't please him, you went to harem number two. So she could be like, I'm just going to do my thing, get over with, like, yeah. Boom, harem number two, chilling. Ever just want to do that for God? Yeah, I'll just do my thing and then chilling. You probably haven't served him for more than 10 minutes then, if you have never felt it. I've done my time. Bless me, Lord, I obeyed you. I'm done now. Ever play that? Bless me, Lord, I obeyed you. I'm done now. Ain't doing that again. Never going back again, right? Ever do that? Did it, done it, been there. You told him that. And he said, Have you really? Oh, you haven't learned the lesson then. Come on back in here. Another 40 years you need in that lesson?
No, sir, no.
She could have mailed it in. She could have settled. She could have resisted. She embraced an opportunity to please the king. She had other opportunities. Esther desires to prove the king alone will be her top priority. Her top priority. Intimately. Ooh, baby. What you need, sugar? I'm about pleasing you. This is a story about that. Intimately pleasing the king, whatever he is pleasured by. It's a story about her top priority being completely and wholly him. Didn't matter what she thought, anybody else thought, she wanted to know the king and please the king. Have you ever studied what pleased him? Ever studied what pleases God? And you ever asked to get better at it? Do we put into practice what pleases him? See, lots of things we can do in our lives. People say, hey, man, you know, you could do for me this. And then you kind of get it half done. Or they forget about it. It's not as priority as they said it was going to be. And your feelings go, well, that hurt a little bit. I'll get through it. It's okay. They're my brother in Christ. I love them. We forgive each other, right? Yeah, we had those moments. I think we got to start practicing more than anything the rest of our humanity is get our life about pleasing the one person that we love. Because if you can't focus up on pleasing the one person that you love, then why are you here? I mean, that's harsh, but it is straight truth. Gave you one person to love, and you can't focus. We're going to read a tragic story. See, have you gone all in on what pleases the king and serving him and honoring in your looks? Does he have your life, your money, your time, your location, your career, your family, your vacation time, your first focus of pleasing? Are any of those things true of us? Well, I'm going to sell my house and I'm going to. Did you talk to Jesus about it? What's he have to do with it? He's the king. And you pledge your life to him. I want to change my career. Talk to Jesus first. Why? Because he's the king. I want to marry this person. You better talk to Jesus first. Why? Because he's the king. Well, I think that's pretty controlling. Hey, you're the one that said you want a new life. You're the one that said you need a forgiveness from your sins. You're the one that repented and said, I'm all in. Lord, save my soul. I am now yours alone. You said that. I didn't make you say that. Right? Am I all in on what pleases the king, or have I been all in on what pleases me? Our love expressed to him in the way. Say the way. The way he wants us to or prefers it, right? The way he wants us to. I just want to give my love like this. All of my love to Jesus. That's a great way to give it away, but is that what he asked me to do? What if with the day he asked me to dance, I said, no, I'm going to give $500 instead. That's a bigger sacrifice for me back then. That took me forever to save $500. I don't think anything would have happened. Nothing would have changed. The church would have been blessed and been able to feed some people. My situation said, unchanged. Why? Because you didn't do it my way. my way. Love me how I prefer it. We always want people to love us how we prefer it. And God has been good with that, hasn't he? Oh, he has loved us when we didn't deserve it. We were stinky and ugly and nasty and complaining and fussy and full of sin and grody, right? Anybody not in that situation before God? And he loved you? Anybody been loved out of that situation by God? Oh, hallelujah. Boom. Right? We have that. We have ways we like to be loved. And we get so comfortable with him loving us. We get so busy asking him to love us more and love us better and love us well and love us this way and love us that way. And Jesus, love me here. And Jesus, love me there. And I need love and I need love. And at some point in time, the bridegroom says, what about me? What about me? The king's saying, what about me? He's looking at the church and saying, what about me? What about me? You have to love the way he likes it, right? You got to love the way he likes it. Ask yourself, do we love? We have preferences, right? Right? We do. We often, we have a radar guaranteeing, you know, we think we know exactly what he needs from us. But it's scary to ask him sometimes. What if you really ask him what he wanted? What if you really did? What if you changed your life completely because you asked him, what do you want from me? What will make you happy? Not what will make me happy. What will make the king happy? I know I should get to the scripture, but I'm not. I'm taking my time today because this is to me. When God drops something to me and wakes me up in the middle of the night while I'm away trying to set up a convention, you guys are going to have to stay awake the whole time too. Are we setting as giving to him our love our top priority? Or are we selfish lovers? Are we selfish lovers? It's all about me feeling good at the end of the day. God works all the things together for my good. Mm-hmm. We like to quote that one, don't we? Yeah. Love me, love me, love me. Help me, help me. Jesus, please me, right? That's our daily prayer. And please them, and could you please them too? Please them. And he's saying, please me. You've been such a selfish lover. If I ask you to kiss me a certain way, you do it a different way. I ask you to wash my feet, and you got time for Verna's feet, not my feet. Saying, what about me? I'm the king. If it wasn't for me, none of y'all would be alive. We get to be selfish lovers, don't we? It happens. We get spoiled. That's how it happens. So this is the real history of story of Esther. You know, this it's less whimsical and romantic. The night in the with them, was it called The Night with the King? It's well done by the church, though. It's amazing. Great show, you know. But the reality of the search is for a bride who will love, honor, obey, and please the king. It's not someone who will read him bedtime stories. Not someone who's great with candle music and, you know. The king's forced to put out a classified ad. The king is to find a good looking, kept herself, serving and focused on praising him type of bride. Say a bride. One who sat and purposed with an attitude of pleasing him over pleasing herself. Pleasing him's more important than her hope of queenship. Lots of times we'll do something with what's in it for me, God. What's in it for me, God? If I tithe, then what happens for me? What about me? If I do this, God, and I move away and I sell all that I have, what's Daniel going to have to do? You know? Motives matter too. Most important, actually, to him. This king has a history, this one I want to talk about, tells us about his history, he was tough. He was tough. This king that she's about to please is tough. A total dominant totalitarian dictator. Ruling the world. And conqueror of kingdoms. He even named himself King of Kings. Ever heard of the Battle of Thermopylae? If you haven't, you're going to see a picture soon. It's from the movie 300. I don't necessarily recommend it. There's a lot of gore and other things in it, but I'm a guy, and it speaks to me. It's a bit more accurate of a picture. The fact is, and you may rarely hear this, but I'm going to give you some facts. You ready? God is tough and dominant, too. And God conquers. I don't know if you know that. God is not some pansy that you can push around to do whatever you want. And he's in no obligation to do a darn thing for you anymore. And he's always been, and every civilization has always bowed to him in the end. And sometimes he makes them. God's tough. Here's another fact. God's a totalitarian. It's his way, no one else's. It's not discussion or debate. God's a totalitarian. Here's another fact. God also desires to be first. First. When? Always. Another fact. God desires to be pleased. He desires to be pleased. Here's a factor, too. God wants his bride to be completely focused on him. He doesn't want to share her. Not her affections, not her time, not her thoughts, not her own personal well-being. God's tough. He's beautiful and amazing. And he deserves my life. And he can have it. We got to focus up. It's time to focus up. The bride's got one thing, pleasing the king. Say, pleasing the king. Any brides ever been? Any brides out there? How many brides ever wanted to be a bride? Anybody? So half of you didn't want to be brides? And some of you are visiting your husband's like, I can't even say that right now, Pastor. Anyone serving Jesus in his church? Anybody serving Jesus in his church? Any part of the body of Christ? You're a bride! You're a bride! You're a bride. All of us are brides. Are we, are you, are us focused on what pleases our groom? Or we got a honey-do list for him every day. Every day, honey-do list. And his amount of love he gets back is so minimum, I wonder why he stays around. I know this is going to be good for us. This is the good stuff. It's why we're small today. It's why we're about packed full of visitors. This matters. If you don't get this, nothing else matters. Are we focused on what pleases him? On pleasing him in every way, like his most intimate desires of us. His tiniest desires. His particularness, maybe. His priorities becoming our priorities. Right? There's particular things. If you get to know somebody that they like and they don't like. Right? You know their temperaments. You know? You can tick someone off by hugging them. And other people, you'll tick them off by not hugging them. You got to know, right? Us giving him single focus like no other man exists. We'll get a bride mindset. No other man exists. Making sure that no kindness or attention meant for him is given to anybody else. Do you know how often we see marriages crashing and burning in Ethos Counseling because of that? Well, he's just so nice to me at work. Or she's so this. She's always telling me how I have nice teeth. You know, you've seen it. Do you know why General Hospital was a soap opera? I worked in the hospital. It looked just like that. It did. Anybody ever work in the hospital can say it didn't? Uh-huh. That's what I'm saying. Giving him single focus. giving him our own heartfelt, detailed, intimate focus, right? It matters. Such really quick, so intentional, pleasing love, because he deserves it, right? So the good thing, it's a good thing that Esther showed us how to do it. Esther opens the door to save her people because of it. But I want to tell you something, because I think we mix up the story, and I'm going to get to it. They weren't in danger at that time that she gave herself fully to the king. She didn't go, I'm going to save my people, so I'm going to bless his socks off. She did it before. She didn't please the king with every part of her physical and emotional being to the place of whatever his way was that he liked. She didn't do that so she can protect everybody. It's a lie. It's not the story of Esther. She pleased the king because she was called on to please the king. That's why. Now, that did other things. That opened other doors. Say, I'm going to please the king. Yeah. Her solo moment, right? In that moment, intimately, emotionally, and physically, she pleased the king. Esther's intentions and actions were to please the king. So pleased that he could not help do one thing. He was so pleased, whatever that night was, whatever she did physically, emotionally, spiritually, set up the environment to make him go, woo! Whatever that was, it moved him to do one thing. Remember her name. Who was that girl? Where'd you find that girl? She did everything. It smelled like cinnamon and vanilla in there, my favorite. She laid out brand new silky sheets. Oh, she had a bathroom for my silly toe fetish. Who told her about that? She was ready. She was doing one thing. I'm pleased the king. I have a moment with him. I'm going to please him. Eventually, that moment was her time to shine and opened another moment for an opportunity for her to get favor. See, the love of the king opens up the favor of the king. You ever notice God has favorites? I know you're lied to that he doesn't. I dare you to read the Bible and prove me otherwise. And actually will say in there things like that. And you'll notice they're all people who did one thing. Please the king. She pleased him, right? She pleased him. So I have some pictures before we get into the scripture. I want to show you King Ahasuerus, okay? This is what we saw. This is he's somewhere in that. He could have looked like that, similar, right? And I have another picture of King Ahasuerus, or Xerxes. There he is there. So, okay, ladies, guys, this is tough for us. We'll just shut it down for a second. If you had to kiss one of them, which one would you rather kiss? The sweet, sensitive dude, or this dude that looks like, I don't know what's up with him. He may eat me. History tells us he might not have been that drastic, but he was more this than he was the other picture. He's the conqueror of nations. Smasher of cities and culture. Destroyer of worlds and king of kings. That's who she's being sent into. Not sweet, handsome. Oh, honey, I'm so glad you're here. Would you read me a book? Nope. It's not the real story. Sorry. Oh, honey, will you make me a bowl of soup? Not the story. It's like, how you doing? Yeah. What's your name? You do a good job loving me tonight, and I'll remember it. I know that sounds coarse, doesn't it? That's the story. Please the king. See, it doesn't matter if I don't feel that. I feel chauvinist. Okay, you're not going to please the king. You're all thinking about your situation. Oh, I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't do that. Then you would never please the king if you got I wouldn't in front of it. It's got to change. It's got to change. Xerxes was no weak, indecisive king. He was a warrior. Man, but the king should get pleased. Let's get in there before I keep you all day. Esther 1:1-4. It was in the days of Ahasuerus, Xerxes, who reigned from India to Ethiopia over 127 provinces, pretty much the known world. In those days, when King Ahasuerus sat on the royal throne, which is at the citadel of Susa, the capital of the empire of Persia, next, in the third year of his reign, he held a banquet for all his officials in attendance, and the army officers of Persia and Media and the nobles and the officials of the province were there in presence. And he displayed his riches of his glorious kingdom and splendor of his great majesty for 180 days. That king likes to party. That's just the king being the king. Why can he do that? He's the king. I declare, half a year we shall party. We ain't doing that. Oh, yes, you will. You all will. Why? Because I decreed it. We don't understand that. We can barely obey the speed limit. Right? Yellow is a suggestion around the corner. I'll claim this on my taxes, but move on, Pastor. Move on. You're keeping us way later than you should be. He held a banquet for all his officials, right? And the provinces, and king being the king. And besides being a partier, he has a need to express himself and to look good. I hate to tell you, that's what God does too. Don't make him look bad. Don't make God look bad. You don't like it. He doesn't like it. In fact, this king is absolute authority. This king rules their world. This king has absolute authority, and this king rules their world. This king has a standard. This king likes things a certain way. Sound familiar to a king you know? You should. I know that this king is an uncomfortable analogy, but kings desire what kings desire. Say, oh, stop it. Stop it. Your little kingdom. You like things a certain way. We all have a little kingdom, don't we? I am the king of my castle. I like things a certain way. Pastor Heidi the Queen likes things even more a certain way. Right? Esther 1, 10 through 14. On the seventh day, when the king's heart was joyful with wine, he commanded, not always a good idea to command things when you're joyful with wine. No matter your opinion of his state of being, of decree, it doesn't matter. Well, I don't know if God's really, he doesn't get the whole situation. I think God's being a little dramatic with me. I don't think I need to pay that close attention to that message today. I know, it's that message. He commanded, so no matter what your opinion of his state of being, when he commands, the king says something, it doesn't matter what his state of being is in your opinion. He commanded all those dudes, Memham, Biftha, Harba, Bigda, Agda, Ronnie, Mike, Jimmy, and Cyrus, I don't know, the seven eunuchs who serve the presence of King Ahasuerus as his attendants. He said to them, bring King Vashti before the king. Bring her. Bring her how? Bring her wearing her royal crown. Not only does he say, in the middle of partying, 180 days, hey, go bring the queen, and I want her dressed up. Display, and what I want to do is I want her dressed up, and I want to show her off. I want to display her beauty before the people and the officials, for she was lovely to see. The king desired a thing, so he spoke a thing. The king desired a thing, so he spoke a thing. I know, you're mad. This isn't time to think about feminism. And don't fall for this trip to rail at chauvinism. It's not time for logic or manners or anything else. Recall that their world was all about their king. What's your world all about? Makes a difference, right? It does. Remember, the king has pleasures. He's king. He's king of Vashti's life. He's her king. He's her king. I know that's, you got to cheer that up. But we have to understand that if we're ever going to get it right here. This is an unjust king, and God's showing us they should have been snapping to it. And he's saying, I hope my bride understands I have pleasures and needs, and I take very good care of her, but there's a season now it's got to be all about me. King's command was delivered to her by the eunuchs. So the king became extremely... Am I there with it? Am I go ahead? You okay? So the king became extremely angry and burned with rage. Why did he do that? Wow. She refused the king. And it says this, the king became extremely angry and burned with rage. You never want to be in a king's raging anger. The king's rage will burn you if he's not pleased. You say, that sounds harsh. I want to tell you, it's not in the scripture, it's not in our text today, but Matthew 23:21-34, it talks about the good and evil servant. Both get stuff based on their pleasing the king. One gets more things. The other one gets thrown out with wailing and gnashing of teeth in eternal torment. That's harsh. But you better do something when you get a chance to please the king. If you get caught up in anything but the king, it's going to be a problem from this moment forward. It's going to be true. We're without excuse. Then the king spoke to the wise men who understood the times. You understand the times we're in? I hope you understand the times. For it was written, it was the custom of the king to speak before all those who were familiar with the law and legal matters and were close to him, his advisors. The 7 officials of Persia who had access to the king and were ranked highest in the kingdom. Esther 1:15. He said, according to the law, what is to be done? What do you mean? What's to be done for not pleasing me? Wow, he's tripping. He asked her, in an inconvenient time, to get dressed up and parade herself in front of all his drunken buddies. Who's on Esther's side in that moment? Oh, come on, raise your hand. Bunch of liars. But what he's teaching us is that doesn't matter. The king says something. We need to learn to jump to it. But I don't like the time he asked me to move to Africa. It's all your fear. Might as well just say it. I don't like that he wants me to serve in usher's ministry. I don't like to talk to people. Just trying to give you some things. He said, what's to be done for not pleasing me? What is to be done with Queen Vashti? She was Queen Vashti. She did not obey the command of King Ahasuerus, which was conveyed to her by the eunuchs. You know why they put that in there? We told her. Yeah, we did. We clearly let her know what you wanted. Like, we got in there, said turban. Like, we laid it out. Like, this is, you know, his servants do that every Sunday.
Bless you, Pastor.
They did not obey the king of Ganuaris, which the eunuch had conveyed. She knew it was his desire, but Vashti desired what Vashti desired. Vashti being Vashti. Say the king. Say the king rules the kingdom. See, the king expects his commands to be obeyed. Nonetheless, whether we like him or not. He'd prefer it be done joyfully. Have you read scriptures? And do it with all joy. Right? And let your heart be light. La, 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 la. He prefer, like, when he says jump, we go, ha-ha! Right? But if he says jump, no matter how we feel about it, we should be jumping. Catch your feelings up later. Right? The king's main focus, the kingdom's whole main focus was doing one thing, pleasing the king. The whole kingdom's job was to make sure the king was pleased. It sounds so familiar to me, to Christianity. He woke me up. He said, okay, Lord, why am I not pleasing you? I said, tell him this. I don't want to talk about that. I got a great series you told me I could preach, and it's going to be fun. Anyone see the analogy today between the bride and the king? I hope you do. Esther 1:19 through 21. Here's it. If it pleases the king. Wow, this dude is smart. He starts off with, oh, okay. this is bad. Like, this has gone on wrong. Don't get too upset. No, don't get too upset. I got an idea. I know you. Come here. I got an idea. He's like, what is it, man? I'm grumpy. He says, if it pleases the king, let a royal command be issued. Like, give a command. Yeah, because we all do what you say. So command this over the kingdom. Okay. By him, let it be written in the laws of the Persians and the Medes, so that it cannot be repelled or modified. Hold on. You know, our king's words and commands can't be repelled and modified. We can't pick and choose what we like in his word. If we say something he wants from us, and we choose not to, because we don't agree with it. See, the king of Persia doesn't have to put up with that mess. He just has to say it, and it becomes a command forever. Man, it sounds a lot like our God. Do you see the analogy that's coming up here? Okay. That Vashti is no longer to come before the king, and let the king give her royal position to another. Your position is not guaranteed. If you don't love him first, he doesn't cause your love priority. Well, that's pretty harsh. Israel was replaced. We are grafted in because Israel dropped the ball on loving the king. And that let us in the door to be the second wife. I know you don't like to hear it that way, but that is absolutely the way the analogy is given if you give them the Old Testament. Are we going to learn to love the king better than the first?
Yes.
Give her royal position to another who is better and more worthy than she is, all because his pleasure was no longer her focus. They've been married too long. I used to love cooking you muffins and making you bacon in the morning. But now, 20 years later, king, pick up your own stinking socks. I'm Queen Vashti. Seen it happen. Seen it happen in relationships, man. They say I do, and they're all, ooh, baby, baby. And 2 years later, they're like Hatfields and the McCoys.
Yeah.
I ain't going to please you unless you please me. Okay. This is the story of the kingdom. I'm going to give it to another who's better and more worthy than she is. And when the king's great decree was proclaimed throughout all the extensive kingdom, all women will give honor to their husbands from the great to the insignificant. I'm just going to pause here to say the kingdom of God should be reflected in your home.
Yeah.
It's not easy to hear, but it should be. I'll move on. The statement pleased the king. Yeah, okay. And the officials and the king and what he proposed, he liked it. The king's guys know him, don't they? They know what pleases him, right? It's an important fact later. If you know someone who knows the king and you're not sure, and you read all you can find, say, do you know what pleased God if I'm with this situation? Find someone who knows about pleasing God. His bride, the renowned and honored beautiful queen, gone, replaced in an instant. I'm not replaceable. I'm his child. I can command children from stones. I'm just quoting Jesus. I'm not trying to rattle your feathers. I'm just going to put some Jesus into the New Old Testament. You know, his bride renowned has been replaced by someone who will please the king, right? God has desires and he wants us to focus on them. If we stop showing up, sometimes we don't want to please him because we keep asking him to show up in ways he said no. And he's been asking something of us. He said, it's just, I'm waiting on your love. You're not waiting on mine. I already gave you mine. I'm waiting on your love. He desires, you know, if he desires more kisses and more songs or for you to smell or please him, then do it. What if he's simply asking you on Sunday morning to stand and open your mouth? What if that's all he's asking? What if he's asking you to bring 4 cans of delicious food for the food bank? What is asking you to pray for an hour for Pat? Why? I don't know. What if the king could ask you that? What if he could? What if my life and my career and my location needs had to immediately change because it pleased the king? I know, I'm going to finish. I'm so sorry, but I'm telling you. What if God said to you, move tomorrow, now? Now. Liquidate everything you have, and I'm sending you to Burma. Yeah, no one wants me to look at them very long except the people who are ready. Why? What if God said that to you? I'm away from my family, my kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids, my hometown, my favorite sausage shop. I don't know. What if he said, no, I'm asking you something. Do we still love him that way?
Yeah.
I remember. I remember loving him that way. I remember loving him that way. And we're here because I loved him that way.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. It took a lot of beating and dragging. It wasn't the first time I asked. I'm just being honest. Sometimes he's got to ask me a couple times. I desire this year that stop. If I love him, just got to ask me once. And I, it's my good pleasure to please you. Esther 2, 1 through 3. Okay. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus subsided, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what had been decreed against her. And then the king's attendants who served him said, let beautiful young virgins be sought for the king. That'll rub you wrong right there. Let the king appoint administrators to all the providence of his kingdom and have them gather all the beautiful young virgins to the citadel into the harem. Okay. Under the custody of Haggai. Say Haggai. It's important later. He's the king's eunuch who is in charge of the women, and let their beauty preparations, see preparations, be given to them. You're not just finding those beautiful. Now he wants them prepared to do one thing. Learn how to please me. You're going to have an NSBI class on me. Yeah, we're going to have a class on what the king likes in every way. We're taking you from what you know. And the only reason we picked you wasn't because you're great at math or reading books. You look good. Now, can we train you to please the king? He needs a queen, a bride, who understands that being the queen is subservient to pleasing the king. He needs a bride who understands that being the queen is subservient to pleasing the king. Vashti forgot that. She forgot that. Esther 2:4 says, then let the young women who please the king, say please the king. What are they supposed to do? The young women are supposed to please the king. Okay. Who please the king, be queen in place of Vashti. Huh. Well, this pleased the king. That's a great. So what are you saying? Find all the hot girls in all the world I control and bring them to me. And what's their job again? Remember? Does it please me? I love that. That pleases me. Do it. That's what he did. This pleased the king, and they did it accordingly. Here's a hard fact, and we don't like it, but if it pleases the king, then we should change to please him. If it pleases the king, we got to change to please him. Whether we like the rules of his city, of his kingdom, or his ways, there are things in his kingdom, his rule, and his ways I don't care for. Anybody else? Any things, if he said, hey, you want to change something? I got you. And they're like, yeah, dude, I got some things. It's time to yield completely and be submissive to what pleases the king. Submissive is a hard word. But he's looking for a bride who stopped focusing on being queen without spot or wrinkle. Majestic, the bride of Christ. You'll never be the bride of Christ unless you learn how to please the king. Esther 2, 5 through 7. There was a certain Jew in the citadel of Susa whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, the son of Benjamin, who deported to Jerusalem the captives whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Hed, exiled. He was the guardian of Hadassah, that is Esther. The young woman was beautiful of form and face. And when her father and mother died, Mordecai took care of her as his daughter. Esther 2:8 through 9. Giving some history on Esther. So it came about when the king's command and his decree was proclaimed, and when many young women were gathered. Many young, all beautiful, were gathered. Why? Everyone gets a chance to please the king. They all could have been Esther. Do you realize that? Everyone gets a chance. Well, it's not fair because you made Blanche more beautiful than me. How can I please you? Get to know the king. Get to know the king. You know what pleases him. It's an equal opportunity job. They all had chances to please the king. Many women were gathered together in the citadel, which is the custom of Haggai, who was in charge of the women. It says, now the young women pleased Haggai. Oh, so the first thing that she did, Hadassah, Esther, gets into the palace, rounded up, right? And she finds a dude that's close to the king, Jody. And she says, what can I do for you, man? What? He starts pleasing the king's servants. Man, he loves that. The king loves that when he starts trying to please his servants. I love it when people bless you. I love it. So this girl's got it. She's already starting out strong, right? I'm going to please his servants. If I can, before I even see the king, I'm going to please his servants. Before I even see the king, I'm going to please his servants. Before I even see the king, I'm going to please his servants. Man, she's got it down. She got it down. She pleased him. Pleased him and found favor with him. So quickly, he provided her with beauty preparations. Can you imagine in this story, they take all this time to prepare her to become more beautiful. Man, isn't it hard when God starts working on our life and we don't like it? And he's trying to prepare us to be more beautiful. And beauty hurts, I'm told. Yeah. Lori, is beauty painful sometimes? Yeah, see, she knows. That's probably where I heard it. So they spend their whole time going, how can I even be better for the king? Their new life focus was, I have to be better looking, acting, feeling. It's my time to try and become the pleasure object of his desire. Welcome to the church. And he loved it, right? She pleased him and found favor with him so quickly and provided her with beauty preparations, right? Focused on being your prettiest at all time for the king. That's hard. Anybody? I'm not always my prettiest for the king. I'm not always my prettiest. I'm definitely a sweatpant guy sometimes. We got to learn how to look good for him, be focused on that, make it my intention that it's got to matter. He gave her portions of food and he gave her 7 choice maids. Woo! He gave her some help. Then he transferred her and her maids to the best place in the harem. Well, how, why? Why did that happen? Can you remember a few verses ago? I know it's hot and tired. I'm keeping longer than I ever do. Because she pleased him and he moved her up. Okay. They transfer her and her maids to the best place in the harem. Moved her for her opportunity to please the king. But can you imagine a harem from all over the world? How do you compete with that? I love girls, but they're catty. You seen that Ethiopian girl? Mm-hmm. She thinks she's all that with her big lips. She ain't going to please the king. I heard he likes little lips. I bet that was not a great place. And some ladies are crying like, I don't want to please the king. Yeah. No way. It had to be an uncomfortable place to be. Yeah. At least for me, I would not have liked to have been around. Like, not a good place. But she didn't pay attention to what others were doing or saying. She was focused on one thing and one thing only. She used her preparation time to what? Learn how to please the king. She wasn't competing against her brothers and sisters. She wasn't competing against the other brides-to-be. She wasn't trying to like, you know what? There's that one pretty girl from Iceland. I'm going to knock her down the stairs. That gets her out of my way. Right? Like, I know that one's dairy. She has dairy problems. So I stuck a little milk in her cereal this morning. She got to please the king today. Well, she wasn't sabotaging everyone else. What was she doing? Focused on prepping to please the king. Sometimes we'd be like, you know, it's, anyways, I won't talk on this. She was not looking to get past her one night either with Xerxes, right? To live a quiet and decent life in the palace grounds with all the other girls. Look, if I just suck this up, I walk in, pretty as I am, flop myself down and go, okay, king, whatever. I'll live a nice, calm, comfortable life somewhere on the palace grounds. She could have. How many times I want to mail it in? That's sure and last because she knows. I often tell her. You ever want to mail it in? Serving God's hard. You just want to go, nah, I can't do it this way no more. Anybody?
Yeah.
She didn't mail it in. Esther wanted to please the king. It must have shown in her work. Esther 2:12. Now when it was each young woman's turn to go before the king, after the end of her 12 months, a whole year. Have we ever prepared ourselves a whole year to do anything? Especially to please, what if, like, I want you to prepare this whole year, what, to please Pastor Heidi, okay. I want you to prepare this whole year to please, which means I want you to take a whole year of your life and focus on nothing but the king. Can you commit this year to make that your focus? This is the year you prepare to be the most beautiful you possibly can so you can be the most pleasing to the king you possibly can be. Deeply, intimately, know what he likes and give it to him, right? An extensive preparation. And it's just a preparation. They spent a whole year, but in all reality, they're going to get about 6 hours. They get one shot. Blanche, life feels a little bit like 6 hours, don't it? 1 minute you're in kindergarten. Then you have 1 minute you're in kindergarten. And then before you know it, you got kids. And then grandkids, and then you don't move so well, and your moment's over. Don't let this year of preparation escape you, church. This is your year to focus on the king like you never have, and let him say whatever he wants to say. Let him ask of you whatever he wants to ask of you. This is your year to obey and please the king. This is our year. Say, it's my year.
My year.
1 year under the regulations for the women for the days of their beautification were complete as follows. 6 months with oil and myrrh. I want you to feel soft and smooth for the king. Do what pleases him. I want you to smell nice. Smell like a sweet, acceptable sacrifice. And prepare for 6 months with sweet spices. Feed the king what pleases him. I don't like spicy food. It doesn't matter. What does the king like? And perfumes. What smell gets the king's nose? If he likes that smell, then learn to love it too. And if Pastor Heidi sniffed me one day and she goes, you know, I wish you smelled a little bit more like paint thinner. I'm being honest with you. If she came up to me and said, I wish you smelled a little bit like paint thinner because it really gets my attention. Who doesn't think I wouldn't buy gallons of paint thinner? Do you think I want to smell like paint thinner? Do you think it'd be great for me or my skin? Now, put that in your life towards God. Maybe you want to smell like something. He's saying, no, I'm asking you to smell like this. This is what gets me going. And beauty preparations for women. Sometimes it takes detailed training to please the king, right? With our brief moment in this life, we got to start being more attractive to him. We got to be more full of flavor, man. We got to have an aroma that gets his attention. Don't try to just dip when God gets in the room. Try to go, smell me. I wore this for you. Right? God walked in? Yeah. Is that God walking in? Yeah. Is he looking at me? Right? It's a brief moment, man. Say, I get you, Pastor.
I get you.
Okay, right. Our life moment is about pleasing the king, not pleasing our in-laws. Not pleasing our society. I know, right? It's not pleasing our society. Not swayed by others' opinions. Not being pleased by our own comfort and desires, but pleasing the king. Esther 2:13 through 14. Then the young woman would go before the king in this way. Anything that she wanted was given her to take her from the harem into the king's palace. You know, most pursuers of the king think like, if I have to go be intimate with this jerk, oh, sorry, did I say that? The king of kings, I mean. If I have to go be intimate with that power-hungry maniac, I mean, Xerxes, if I've got to go be intimate with that guy, then I'm going to get something nice party gift out of it. I'm going to get paid for serving the king. He knows. You know, people come through here that want to preach here, and I know what they want. They want an offering. I'm just being honest with you. They want to show their dynamic whatever. And I have some dynamic whatever that come on this stage, and I take up some offerings. But there's a difference for someone who wants to come and go, hey, what's my parting gift? Your parting gift is you don't get to preach here. Pastor Jody knows. So in the evening, she would go, and the next morning, she would return to the second harem. So she's off the king's radar. Did that off the king's radar. She would not return to the king unless... How can the king... How does she know that she's going to get a second shot with the king? She would not return to the king unless he delighted in her and she was summoned by name. He knows my name. Why? What do you do to get recognized? I'm not talking by pastor or the worship team or the usher staff or your neighbor. What do you do to get recognized by the king? I know this is not a typical message. We don't earn, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about the favor and pleasure of the king. You can be in his palace. I want to be his bride. You can live with all the other chicks, or you can live with the man. In the evening, they go out, and the next morning she come in. She would not return unless he delighted in her, knew her by name. Say, he knows my name. Wouldn't it be great to say it this way? He knows my name because I delighted him. Like, you know, he remembered me, Jack. You remember, like, ooh, Sean, when you did that, I'll never forget. You never forget, Lord? Tell me about it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Esther 2:15. Now, as for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her and his own daughter, when her turn came to go in to the king, she requested nothing except what Haggai, remember him? The king's eunuch, who was in charge of the women, advised. Why? He knew the king. She went, what is he like? Well, I told you, the king's got that little foot fetish thing. All the other girls are kind of grossed out by it. She went, I love me some feet. She might have been like, feet are nasty. Who thinks feet are nasty? What if that was the king's thing, Chantel? What if the king said, come on, baby, sniff my toes? You're like, that's gross, Pastor, move on. I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter what the king's thing is. Your thing is what the king's thing is. And she went to the guy who knew him and said, hey, the girl's been coming and going. And I know you're a boy from way back in the day. And you watch over all the girls and you see all the petty nonsense. And when they leave, you probably locker room talk with the king. Tell me, what's he like? What's he want? What's he looking for? Why? I want to give that to him. She's smart. She goes find one of the king's servants and gets an insight of what the king wants. And Esther found favor in the sight of all who saw her. So Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus to the royal palace in the 10th month, that is the month of Tebah, in the 7th year of his reign. She was sent in to please the king. Esther 2:19, and then I'll close up here. Now the king loved Esther more than all the other women. Why? Why did he love her more? And she found favor and kindness with him more than all the other virgins, so that he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen in place of Vashti. Why did all that happen? She pleased the king. She pleased the king. Pleasing the king, doing the Father's will, his exact way, what pleases him. Jesus learned how to please the king. His Father, nevertheless, you think he wanted to go to the cross for us? How about the beating? You think? How about the humiliation? You think that's like, yeah, I'm down. That sounds like a great time on earth. He said, nevertheless, your will be done. Why? Because it pleases you, Father. And then he said, I'm going to show my church, the bride, exactly what that looks like. Pleasing you at all costs. If I have to give up my home, my job, my location, my desires, my preferences, if you ask me to dig dirty holes in the ground as a ministry for you someplace in Zimbabwe, if that makes me more beautiful, then I'm selling it tomorrow and I'm on my way. Can he say those things to the church again? Do we love him that much anymore? Is he a husband we just got pretty used to? He takes out the trash in our lives. He pays our bills. Answers my prayer requests whenever I shoot him up some, you know. He's a good old boy. Been living with him a long time. Is that what the king deserves? I don't think he needs that from a bride. I think that sounds like Vashti more than it sounds like Esther. Go ahead and stand with me a second. I'd like to release you because it's late, and I'm going to release you, but if you'd like to stay and join me in some worship, I want to give you a moment. If you're like me, I needed a moment after that. I've been unwilling to do some things I'm afraid he's going to ask me to do. I'm open to hearing it now. I really want that for you, whether you ever come back to this church or not. Whether I've kept you too long, I usually have you out 15 minutes ago. But I felt so moved that this was so important for what we're going to do next. If we don't understand that us pleasing the king is the most important thing that we can possibly do in the season we're in, then we're going to miss everything. And some of us need to repent for that. We got too used to him. You know, he's just Jesus. He's my friend. No, he's the king. He's the king. He's the king. And the king gets what the king gets. Pastor Larry, would you do me a favor? I'm going to pray people out, and those that want to be with us, I actually prepared some songs this morning. It's called Linger at the Altar. If you could do that for me. And I'll pray you guys out. The time has come to live for God alone, and he's looking for those whose lives are going to be pleasing to him in every way, in the way he desires, and the what he wants and the how he wants it. And that may sound chauvinistic and totalitarian and conquering and warrior and oppressive and omnipotent. I'll tell you, that is God. We forget. And he's looking for someone to say, will you love me more than you? Will you love me more than what you want? Will you love me when I ask you something hard? Will you love me? Will you love me? Will you love me? I want to be first. I'm so jealous. The news gets your attention, and Facebook gets your attention, your neighbor gets your attention, and Pastor so-and-so gets your attention, and podcasts get your attention. You say, where am I? I've loved you for so long. I miss you. Where am I? And I want to be pleased. Some of us need to go, Lord, I'm so sorry. Sorry. And then I think we need to get our hearts like them, prepare me to be that. I'm not now, but I want it so bad. I want you to be the best lover you ever had. I want you to know me by name so much that you've got me on speed dial. You butt call me accidentally because we're so close. That's what I want. His time's come. It's time to live for God alone. It's time to please the King. So I'll pray you out, and you're welcome to leave. If you want to stay with us in a moment of prayer before God, please come up front. I don't care what you do with the kid. Whatever you want to do, it's good. Whoever Sunday service director is, you make the call. Father, I've kept them a long time. I pray it wasn't in vain. Lord, I pray this be the thing that stirs love to action again. Lord, abandonment, reckless love, the kind we sing about, never ending, the reckless love of God would be our passion again. That your church, especially here at New Season Christian Fellowship, Lord, I'm asking that we fall so passionately in love with you that you can whisper a desire, Lord God, and it's there for you. Take it from us. We deliver it to you, Lord. Bless New Season and those that come in here for a minute and a moment and those that make this home. In Jesus' name, amen.